Joining us now is retired General Jack Keane, as a former acting chief of staff of the Army. General Keane, welcome to Day to Day.
Oh, I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Some people call you the architect or the godfather of the surge. You know, it was not that big an increase in troops originally, calling for just 20,000. What made you think that was going to be enough of a margin to establish order or try to establish order or something like order?
The surge really is a horrible term, but the term stuck, and it's in military terms, it's a counteroffensive designed to wrest the offensive away from your opponent, in this case, the insurgency and the al-Qaeda in Iraq. And the surge, while everybody focuses on the troops, the real issue was we changed the strategy. For the first time, we were going to protect the people and actually take on the mission to defeat the insurgency. In the past, our mission was to transition to the Iraqis so down the road they could defeat them. To do that, you needed additional forces because you have to decentralize and put the troops on the streets where they live in the neighborhoods, mullahs, as they call them in Iraq, and districts in those major urban centers. That is the issue. And in an urban insurgency, the people are the issue.
You know, there are some, including the West Point history professor, Lieutenant Colonel John Gentile, who say that it's not so much that we sent in these extra troops or changed our strategy. It's that we got Muqtada al-Sadr's forces to have a ceasefire, and we essentially hired 100,000 former Sunni insurgents to come onto our payroll and try to keep quiet.
That's an absolute distortion of what's actually happened. Look, I've been going to Iraq for the last 2 years, every 3 or 4 months for a couple of weeks at a time. I have spoken to the Sunni insurgent leaders, and they have capitulated. There's not a white flag of surrender, but they have come into the political process. Why did you come into the political process? Why didn't you continue to seek your political objectives using armed violence? Answer, because we couldn't win. One of them said, when Bush occupied Baghdad, we knew we didn't have a chance. Those are his words, not mine. The awakening movement had already started in Anbar province, but the fact of the matter is, with the catalyst of additional troops, that awakening movement, as you say, the Sons of Iraq.
This is the people we hired, we paid off.
Well, I wouldn't call it that. I mean, it's so unprecedented. The way insurgencies end and the way the Sunni insurgency has ended is it just sort of fades away. Then they either come into the political process or they go into hiding, they leave the country, they just put their weapons and go back to doing what they normally did. In this case, the insurgent leaders wanted to protect their people and they wanted to assist us in defeating the al-Qaeda. So they made a political strategic decision to capitulate, and then they gave us young people to assist in doing that. And it's somewhat unprecedented. They came over to our side to help us fight one of their enemies, the al-Qaeda.
We're speaking with retired General Jack Keane. He's one of the strategists for the surge, the military surge in Iraq. General Keane, we heard General Petraeus earlier say that he's going to look ahead and think about what the numbers might be, the number of U.S. forces in Iraq. Maybe in September he'll be able to make an adjustment of some kind. What would you expect over the next 6 months?
Well, I probably think in the rest of 2008, I think the key event in Iraq is provincial elections, which has not been decided in terms of, you know, when that's going to take place. I believe they will take place. And it doesn't make any sense to reduce forces, I don't believe, before provincial elections take place. And then I believe after that, and the command could probably announce it beforehand, after that you would see the force levels going down by X number of brigades in 2009. Somewhere in there, late 2009 or 2010, we'll transition the mission where we will not be doing counterinsurgency. It will not be necessary for us to do it any longer. The Iraqis will be completely in the lead, and we'll have a support function which will require considerably less troops to do. I mean, you can see that in the future. Certainly the command does not want to come out and put a timetable on that, even though they think about it quite a bit, and I'm sure they have plans to accommodate that. But they don't want to provide a timetable because you don't want to give, you know, your opponent, your enemy, that variable, and so he can organize around that. And remember, we got in trouble in Iraq before because we underestimated our enemy. And these generals that are in Iraq now, they don't want to do that.
The writer Michael Kinsley, who's a friend of this program, wrote about the surge a few months ago. Look at the numbers before the surge. Look at the numbers after the surge. This is what the Bush administration calls a success. 130,000 Americans in Iraq at the beginning. And at the end, this country will still have about 130,000 soldiers, American soldiers in Iraq. Michael Kinsley said, have we really succeeded in anything, or have we just kind of changed the metric in some way?
Oh, my Lord. I mean, what we have in Iraq, and I just got back, you know, less than 2 weeks ago, what we have in Iraq is a government that is elected by its people. It's the only Arab-Muslim country of that type, that form of government in that region. It'll have a long-term security relationship and a strategic relationship with the United States and be aligned with the United States. That is a major positive outcome for us, particularly given the fact that in 2006 we nearly lost the country and suffered a humiliating defeat.
Things do look an awful lot different than they did 2 years ago. You had a significant role in that, in thinking about what should be done at a time when it was a very unpopular plan to be putting forth. No one wasn't a very big cheering squad for that. I wonder if you sit back on an evening now and feel some kind of sense of satisfaction. What is that?
Well, I think there were a lot of people that, you know, had a hand in
well,
it.
Well, there were a lot of people, but, you know, I'm asking
yeah,
about
but
you.
Yeah, sure. I mean, on some kind of personal level, given, look, this was not easy because we knew that when you do a counteroffensive, one thing that always happens, casualties go up. And we knew that casualties would go up in this counteroffensive as it has in any other counteroffensive that this country's ever done. And we call that the surge. But we also knew if we got the positive outcome that we thought was truly possible by using counterinsurgency practices and a change of strategy, then in the long run we would have less casualties. Yes, and certainly you take solace in that, in the sense that we have almost a certainty of having achieved our objectives in Iraq despite all the problems we had, despite getting off on the wrong foot for 3 years, despite the miscues and policy mistakes that we've made, which we've done in previous wars as well. But, you know, we're Americans. And the great thing about America is its military reflects its people. And the military in America is intellectually flexible and is operationally very adaptable. And when people look at this, they'll see a military that just turned itself around and got a positive outcome very quickly. And we've done this throughout our history.
Retired General Jack Keane, former acting chief of staff for the U.S. Army. General Keane, thank you.
You're welcome.